probably a little hot. All right, this morning's passage is from 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was or I or they, so we preached and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Thank you, Caleb. Nicely done. On a passage like that, you got to have your son read it. You can't ask anybody else to read it. Let's pray. Father, I love what Paul said. Everything hinges on the resurrection, that this is the first importance. I love how transparent he is, saying if there isn't a resurrection of the dead, then our faith is futile. We're believing in vain, and we're still in our sins. But because the tomb is empty, we know that there's hope. Because he lives, we know that hope lives. Life reigns in you. The grave has been conquered. God, for many in this room, this is a story they've heard most of their life. For some, it might be the first time. But for all of us, may it be empowered by your Spirit so all of us hear it as if you were the one who were telling us this story. So God, would you be pleased to speak through a broken sinner like me? Would you give us ears to hear your voice? Would you give us minds to understand your word? We just read just one passage, but it's so powerful. Your word is living and active. God, give us minds to understand. Each one of us, speak to us. God, give us hearts that embrace your truth. If there's anyone here who only knows the Easter story from a distance, draw them near. May this be their story too. Give us hearts that believe. And God, give us feet to walk in a manner worthy of your name. It's Easter Sunday, and it should affect the rest of our lives. Because if Jesus lives, we live too. God, the things that are said are wrong or just merely my opinion. May those things be forgotten. But the things that are said that are true and contains what Paul calls the first importance of the gospel, would you use those things to make us more like your Son, our resurrected Savior Jesus? And it's in his matchless name that we pray. Amen. If you want to follow along, by the way, there's a Bible in front of you. You'll find 1 Corinthians 15 there. I'll be referring to it in and out. But let me ask you as we begin, who saw the video of the cargo ship Dolly crash into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore? And you see that bridge crumble in seconds? How many of y'all saw that video? I mean, it was absolutely amazing, wasn't it? And all those unfortunate souls that might have been on that bridge or working on that bridge and the peril that they were in. And I got to be honest with you, it's one of those things I had a hard time turning away from. I mean, I just kept watching it. You see the ship come in, all of a sudden, boom, the entire bridge collapses. The superstructure is gone within seconds. Wow, it was incredible. Well, I believe that the religious leaders and the Roman officials believed that that would happen if Jesus was crucified. That would happen, that Jesus' message and his followers, they would all crumble in the matter of seconds if he's crucified on a Roman cross. You see, this Jesus, he had become quite a problem to the Jewish religious leaders, quite an irritant. And they were quite anxious to get rid of him. I mean, he taught in a different way. He questioned their methods and their little rules he never followed. He had the audacity to heal people on the Sabbath. Can you imagine? He had the audacity to hang out with sinners and to go have dinner with them. And it was scandalous what this guy did. It was scandalous the way he loved, who he hung out with. In his teaching, he acted as if he owned God's word. And he called his Father, God, Father. He acted as if they were one. And I'm telling you, they hated it. They didn't like it. They didn't like his teaching. They didn't like this rumor of some weird birth. They didn't like the fact that he was not educated. He's from the wrong area. He's up in this hick town of Nazareth. Who comes from there, right? And they're just thinking, hey, let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. If we get rid of him, he's going to be like that Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's going to be gone in a minute. But we got to get rid of him. He is such an irritant. Apparently, he became a little bit of an irritant to the Romans, too, at least to Pontius Pilate. I mean, they thought, well, you know, let's just try to keep peace here. Let's make sure that we get rid of the riffraff. And then when Pontius Pilate met him, isn't it interesting that he asked him a bunch of questions? He found nothing in Jesus, nothing about Jesus that was worthy of anything, let alone being crucified. And yet Pontius Pilate, instead of justice, he would try to appease what people wanted. What a putz, right? I mean, what a putz. You finally got the only innocent one here. You finally got the one, and you see nothing wrong with him, but all the people are saying, crucify him. Okay, I'm going to wash my hands of this. Let's go ahead and crucify him. Well, for the Romans, for Pontius Pilate, for the Jewish leaders, they believed the cross on which Christ would suffer and die would be like that ship that smashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It would crumble in seconds. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Little did they know that the very cross of Christ would actually be the true and rightful bridge to heaven that could never crumble. Little did they know, strike the shepherd, and his sheep will be rescued. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will live. And because he lives, we live. So this Easter Sunday, we're just going to celebrate this reality in God's word. We're going to unpack a little bit of 1 Corinthians 15. Because he lives, here's what we're going to see. Hope lives, death is defeated, our lives matter, and our future is secure. Let's start off by the reality of hope lives. I mean, everything hinges on Easter Sunday. It's true. Everything in history, everything in your life, everything in mine, everything hinges on Easter Sunday. If Jesus' tomb is truly empty, if he's truly risen from the dead, we have good news. Good news, God wins, right? I mean, good news, we have hope, we have life, we have forgiveness. If that tomb is empty, Jesus' sacrifice worked. But if Jesus remained dead, if Jesus became like everyone else before him, dust to dust, death wins. Hope is lost. And I love what Paul says in that passage. We didn't read it, but in 1 Corinthians 15, 32, he says this. If there's no resurrection, we might as well eat and drink because tomorrow we die. I love that. It's the honesty. I mean, listen, if this is all we got, If this, our broken lives and our emptiness and the death and the cancer and all the things that are around us that don't work, if Jesus isn't alive, you know what? Let's just party. Let's numb the pain. Let's go get something good to eat that will make us feel good, and let's just take some really good tequila, and let's just have a party and try to forget the reality. Because tomorrow, it's over. But that's not the reality of Easter. Everything hinges on Easter. Everything hinges on Jesus. And because he lives, hope lives. How do we know it? God's plan works. I love the way that Paul starts this passage. He says this. Paul reminds them of the gospel, or the good news, in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ, I preached it to you, you received it, and because of this, you are saved. And what is this gospel? Well, it's faith in Jesus Christ, that he is truly Lord and Savior. As Romans 10:9 will say, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, now this is believing that he is the King and the Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, if we believe, I mean, not just intellectual assent, but believe, our hope and trust is that Jesus rose from the dead, we shall be saved. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't say join a church. Should. It doesn't say get baptized. You should. It says this. If you believe. If you believe, but you've placed your trust in this. You're saved. So this is an amazing thing that God's plan worked. Paul will say this is of first importance. And the Greek word here is weighty. It's the most important, the most prominent. And he says this, listen, Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. Many people want to tell you they don't know what they're talking about, that Jesus ended up on a Roman cross and he had no idea how he got there. You know, like somehow he made a couple bad turns, a couple of bad things, and all of a sudden he's hanging on the Roman cross. How did this happen? No. This was always the plan as before he came to Bethlehem, right? According to Scripture, Jesus would die for our sins. Christ was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with Scripture. This is the plan. He would appear to over 500. So Easter is the celebration, the good news that God's plan worked. That's the good news. This was God's plan all along, mission accomplished, now hope lives. Not only does hope live, well, good news, our faith isn't futile. If Jesus, I love it, he says it in the negative. You did a great job reading, Caleb. It's a lot of saying it in the negative in a way to make their point. But he says, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. It's futile, it's worthless. And then he goes on to say this, I love this. If our hope is only in Christ in this life, we of most people are to be pitied. He's saying basically, listen, is this Christianity thing working for you in this life? If it's only in this life, you're wasting your time. It's futile. It's worthless. Go do something better. If it's not an empty tomb, if he's not alive, then your faith is a sham. But the good news is that he is alive, that our faith isn't futile. Because Jesus lives, our faith isn't futile. But there's more than that. Not only that, the reality, because Jesus lives, our sins are forgiven. He says in verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. It's basically saying this, church. We have a cross where Jesus said he was going to pay for our sins. And if there is no empty tomb, that payment, that sacrifice didn't work. The cross didn't work. His Father didn't accept it. Think of it this way. King's Chapel wants to pay off your mortgage today. Can you imagine? I went to church and the pastor said, we want to pay off your mortgage. On the way out, tell us what you owe. We're going to write you a check and we're going to say, pay off your mortgage. You're like, yes, my debt is paid. This is amazing. And if we give you the check, what's the first thing you're going to look at? Is this check any good? This thing's going to bounce. You're right. Right? And so I could say, hey, I'm going to pay for this, and we're going to pay your debt, and we're going to pay your mortgage, but you know, you want to take that check as soon as you can and run to the bank and say, is this in cash? And how do you know it does? It does when the funds are removed from the account and they're applied to yours. Something has to be removed, right? And so the sacrifice of Christ on the cross only accepted. He said, I came to pay a debt, your sins. I came to become your sins, my sins, on the cross to make a sacrifice. And the only way that we know if it works is if there was an empty tomb. The tomb is empty. Our sins are truly paid. Now listen, not just some of them, but all of them. Jesus hung there and said, it is finished. Here's the reality that all of our sins, all the things from your childhood and wherever you are in life, not just part, but in whole. Oh, consider the thought, paid in full, paid in full. I can't pay your mortgage, but Jesus can pay your debt. I can't pay your mortgage, but he could cover all of your sins. And he has. He did it on the cross, and we know that it worked. You know, I have a habit of trying each month to kind of look at 30 different psalms. There's 150 psalms in Scripture. And every month I want to look through 30 and kind of meditate and pray on them. And this, right now I'm on Psalm 91 that goes up to 118. Don't do my math. It's a little different because 119 is different. But let me get to the point. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and forget not his many benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The one who forgives all of your iniquities and heals all your diseases. The one who redeems your life from the pit. The one who crowns you with loving kindness and mercy. The one who separates your sins as far as the east is from the west. That's the gospel. Because of what Christ has done, I am forgiven and I am free. And do I want to do a little dance? Because, man, is that good news. My sins are forgiven. They truly are because Christ lives. If he's in the grave, I still own him. Our loved ones in Christ are home. If Jesus didn't raise from the grave, our loved ones who have died are gone. They're lost. And listen, I love the fact, again, Paul's honest about that. Then those also who have fallen asleep, that means died in Christ, they perished. Some of us have lost loved ones recently. Some of us have lost loved ones recently who love Jesus. My godly mother-in-law died in December. God bless her. She was 93. She was ready for home. But if there's no Easter, she's gone. It's over. And many have tragically lost loved ones. I mean, some of the young ones close to us, tragically. No Easter, no hope. But in Christ, we're going to see him again. Today you'll be with me in paradise, right? Resurrection, they're home. Now, Meemaw is home too. I know that reality because Christ lives. But there's more. Our suffering has hope. So the gospel account, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15, but in Luke chapter 24, there's a really cool story on what's famously known as the road to Emmaus. Have you ever heard of it? So the road to Emmaus, you have these two guys. One scripture gives us his name, Clopas. The other one, no name. And so they were followers of Jesus. They really felt Jesus was Messiah. They put their hope and trust in him, but they just saw him crucified. They saw him crucified, and they thought, oh, crud. Dang it, we thought he was the one. And so for some reason, they were making their way from Jerusalem up down to Emmaus. And as they were making their way, wouldn't you know, the resurrected Jesus appeared to them. They couldn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was for a while. And he asked them, hey guys, what are you guys talking about? And they look at him and think, what's your problem, man? Are you like living under a rock? I mean, what do you mean, what's our problem? I mean, we didn't you see what happened in Jerusalem? I mean, we just Jesus. I mean, this Jesus, he's a prophet from Nazareth, but I mean, he had such power in his words and he did such amazing things. And they said these words, but we had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one. But they crucified him. We saw it. They crucified him. Matter of fact, it's been 3 days and there's some rumor that he's still around. And Jesus called to me. He says, you guys are foolish and you're slow of heart to believe. I think it's a little harsh that he said that to him. But was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter his glory? And then he blew their mind and he absolutely transformed their hearts. He opened up the Bible to them. They thought they knew the story. But he starts way back with Moses, which is the first 5 books of the Old Testament. And watch this. He proves to them that the Messiah had to suffer before he entered glory. And he went through the prophets. He went through the Psalms. And he says the whole story of the Bible, it's amazing. It's all about Jesus. It's all about how God rescues us through his own son's life, death, and resurrection. It's all about him. I mean, can you not see this? And he opens up their eyes and they see. And he basically says, listen, now know this. Because he lives, we can live too. We know that our suffering will produce something. If you're a Christian here, you will suffer. He tells us that flat out. Anybody wants to live a godly life, you're going to suffer. This life is very difficult. But we know, Christian, that our suffering produces something. That death is not the end of the story. Isn't that good news? We will suffer on this side of glory, but we can suffer with hope. Hope. Hopeless suffering versus hopeless suffering. It's a game changer. And listen, suffering without Jesus is like double suffering. Because one, if you suffer in life and you don't know Jesus, you suffer wondering if there even is a God. Is he even there? I mean, that's suffering enough, right? Or you wonder, if there is a God, does he hate me? Is he punishing me? I mean, is he just like some narcissist that's got this magnifying glass and I'm this ant and he's just trying to burn me up? I mean, if you're suffering, you don't know who God really is, the God who suffered for you, the God who died for you, the God who gave you life, you get the wrong idea of God. But when you realize that Jesus suffered for us, when you realize there's hope, you realize that there's a fellowship with him in our sufferings, it's a game changer. Without him, it's a double suffer. We will suffer on this side of glory. We will die unless he comes back, but it's not the end of the story. It's the beginning of the best chapter of our life. Because he lives, death is defeated. Death is destroyed. I love this. Jesus destroyed death by going into the bowels of the beast, of killing death by being killed. Go figure. He beats death by dying on the cross and resurrecting. Jesus, in that reality, swallows up death in his victorious death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. In 54b, it says this, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? For the Christian now, death is a passage home. It's not the end of our story. Again, just the beginning. It says, death's sting is removed. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus our Lord. I remember when our oldest daughter went to the dentist and she was going to get her first cavity filled. And they tried to comfort her, said, it's okay, you're just going to get a little shot. It'll just feel a little bit like a bee sting. And she was terrified of bees. She's like, give me the needle. You know, forget the bees. Oh! You know? And so, anybody who says to you, death is, the sting has been removed, it doesn't mean that the reality, Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb, and he was going to raise him back to life. There was a sting there, but the stingers were removed. The stigma's been removed. The long-time effects have been removed. That now life can reign in Christ Jesus. So don't think, well, wait a minute, I lost a loved one. And it hurts. Of course it does. But we know it doesn't have to hurt to hopelessness. In Christ Jesus, we have hope. Death will still sting, but in Jesus, we have hope. Life reigns. Life reigns. Jesus is called the first fruit of the resurrection. Because he lives, we'll bear gospel resurrection fruit too. Anybody been around a farm? Anybody seen an ear of corn? Anybody seen a field of corn? When you see one ear of corn, what does it say? A whole harvest is coming. Because Jesus was resurrected from the dead, we will one day be resurrected from the dead as well. A harvest in Christ Jesus will come. He's the first fruits, the first ear. More is coming. Death has been defeated through one man, Jesus. Because he lives, we do too. Listen to Romans 5:17. For if because one man's trespasses, that's Adam, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. That we could reign in life in Christ Jesus. He gives us life, life abundantly, life eternally. Easter is here. Because Jesus lives, life reigns. Because Jesus lives, our lives matter. Our lives count. Although it's not an Easter movie, it's a Christmas movie. I have to admit, I like the movie Groundhog Day. Anybody watch it? It's a pretty poignant movie, is it not? And let me ask you, am I the only one? Have you ever felt like your life is Groundhog Day? Have you ever felt like you've just done the same thing over and over and over and over again? You're like, is there anything about this? Am I just going through the motions here? I mean, I think it's so poignant Because a lot of us live our lives thinking, yeah, my alarm goes off to Sonny and Cher, and I live that same life over and over and over again. But now in Christ Jesus, we know that our lives actually aren't Groundhog Day. They matter. This is what he says. He says, listen, he gets all the way through 1 Corinthians. He says, here's the therefore. All this is true because Christ lives. And my brother is here today. And I think at one time, Billy, this was your favorite verse. I don't know if it still is. It's 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. If you're a Christian, your life matters. Today matters. It's not just like, hey, let's hang on until he comes back or you go to heaven. Hang on, don't screw it up so much. No. Your life matters today. Our work matters. What we do, no matter what. Not, you don't have to be a preacher. Wherever God has called you, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He will bless it. My brothers and sisters, what we do matters to God. Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected, yes, so that we could live. But so our lives can matter. Our work can matter. Because Jesus lives, all lives matter. Because he lives, our future is secure. Our bridge to heaven is indestructible. If Jesus wasn't resurrected from the dead, there's no resurrection, there's no hope. Again, it's like that cargo ship, the dolly smashing into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Here, let me just make sure everybody hears this clearly. If Jesus isn't resurrected from the dead, the entire Bible story crumbles. The entire story of Jesus crumbles. The entire gospel story crumbles. It all hinges on that. Anyone here who thinks that you're saved if there's no Easter resurrection, anyone who's on the bridge of Jesus and think that is between heaven and hell, you would all be in peril, plunging into an abyss if there's no resurrection. But because he lives, our future is secure. He truly is the only bridge between heaven and earth. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And because Jesus lives and conquered death, he and he alone is that indestructible bridge to heaven. Are you on the bridge of Jesus? This bridge is called the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, to get on this bridge, there is an amazing heavy toll to use as bridge. But there's good news. Jesus paid it all. You need a pass, like a pass on your window, like an easy pass or a sun pass, an S-O-N pass, right? A sun pass to get in. It's called faith. And you receive it by God's grace. Let me just ask you, what bridge are you on? All bridges one day in an instant will crumble except for one. And if you're not on the bridge of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are in peril, according to Scripture. But if you're on in the gospel, in Christ, because Jesus lives, because of the cross of Christ, because of the empty tomb, the good news of the gospel, the bridge of Jesus Christ is stable and secure. And more importantly, it's open and accessed in an invitation to that bridge today, while it's still called today. But again, it's not accessed by moralism. It's not accessed by church membership, but that's important. It's not accessed by philanthropy. It's by God's grace, through faith. I say the Easter story is more than a story, it's my story. My story is that Jesus lived for a sinner like me. And my sins, which are just heinous, were placed on him. And he paid the price. And the Father accepted the Son's sacrifice for me. And that tomb is empty. And because of that reality, Jesus lives, I live too. And by God's grace, I know that he is that way, the truth, and the life. Are you on it? Are you that secure of your future, or are you in peril? Everything, church, hinges on Easter. Everything. Your life, your future, mine as well. Don't leave here without knowing for sure that you're secure in Christ Jesus. Because he lives, hope lives, death is defeated, our lives matter, and our future is secure. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the hope we have, the hope of Easter. And I love the fact that the reality is if there was No Easter and no empty tomb, we would be toast, still in our sins, without hope. And God, if there's anyone here today that is not on the good news bridge of Jesus Christ, who has not given their life to Christ, by your grace and through faith, may today be the day. God, may this not just be a story we hear, but may this be the reality of the good news of the gospel that transforms us, that makes us yours. And God, we thank you that we have nothing to fear. Nothing's going to crash in to the gospel to make it crumble. Jesus has conquered sin and death, and we're safe with him. Thank you for that reality. Because Jesus lives, so do we. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.